Yes, Abel. Okay. Amen. You know they are here now, right? Okay. Oh, I see. I thought you said you didn't want them here when you made that announcement. So they're going somewhere for their anniversary, and we should pray for safety. Is that right? Happy anniversary. You guys have been married longer than I have. Probably older, too. I doubt that.
At least he's not a grandpa yet.
That's... Sits on the front row. What does he know, right? Whatever. All right. Judges 16. Judges 16. Statistics have it that if you make so many public contributions, one day you'll step in it. I have done that myself. So, Judges 16. Now I'm only going to read a couple of verses here. You locate yourself in Judges 16. This is, of course, Samson and Delilah. Look in verse 4. Came to pass afterward that he, this is Samson now, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. We will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Not much subtlety there, was there? Verse 7, and Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Of course, that was not true. Let's pray. Father, come back to a very common story here. We have to remind ourselves sometimes, Father, it's important that we do so, that these stories are not novel fictions or short stories. These things truly happened in history, and these people were folks that you dealt with and chose to record these things in your eternal book for our admonition and for our comfort at times. Lord, I pray that we might be admonished by these folks' lives here tonight. May we not be too comfortable. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, again, one of the most remembered stories of the Bible. A lot of stuff to preach, of course, through here with Samson's life and such. But it's not too hard to find application in what we read here today. Again, we read in Romans 15:4 the other night that these things are our examples that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Right? And Delilah, of course, is a wicked woman, and she was, of course, hired essentially by her fellow Philistines to try to compromise Samson. She typifies just any woman, a practical woman somewhere, who is wicked herself. She may also typify the great whore of Babylon. But one thing we are for sure of, she does typify the world. It's very helpful to look at this passage and realize that she very much typifies the world. Let me give you a couple of examples. First of all, in verse 5, her purpose was treachery. All right? Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. He loved her. She must have said she loved him, but she was a traitor, and it was not true. All right? Furthermore, I would like you to notice that her tool was love. Verse 4, it says there that he loved a woman. Verse 15, she said to him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? You don't love me. Right? Her tool was love. His weakness was that he did love her. Now think again about this fact that this woman typifies the world and that she really gets in on him because he loves her. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in it, right? And her victory was the fact that he let her inside his defenses and started playing games with her with this. And eventually, she nagged him and nagged him and nagged him. And finally, he told the truth, right? So, I want you to see that. But for tonight, I wanted you to also see what her goal was. And that's what we'll be talking about. Her goal, according to verse 5, was to find out what his great strength was. In verse 6, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. Verse 9, so his strength was not known. He kept deceiving her through several evolutions of this and then finally told her the truth. Verse 15, thou hast mocked me these three times, she says, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Down in verse 17, if I be shaven, then my strength shall go from me and I shall become weak as any other man. Verse 19, finally, she began to afflict him and his strength went from him. Six times in the passage, his strength is mentioned, and several times it's his great strength, all right? That was what she was hired to find out. That was her patriotic duty for the Philistines, that she find out wherein his great strength lieth. Finally, in verse 19, she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him. His strength went from him. She had a razor that she handed to another guy. While he's asleep, the guy comes in and shaves off the seven locks of his head. His great strength left him. I want to say tonight that Delilah still has a razor. Okay? And tell you what the world wants. She's a type of the world. At the behest of the Philistines, I know that there's somebody that's governing the world and driving it forward to do what they do. The world wants to subvert and undermine and rob you of your strength. Your great strength, if you would. You have something that the world does not have. You have something the world cannot acquire with money or by asking or by studying or by education. You have strength in God. Okay? And I want to talk to you for a little while about that because I want you to know that just like Delilah wanted to subject Samson to the Philistine brand of whatever it was they had, I want you to know that the world wants to subject you to the Philistines too. Alright? His great strength lay in his hair. At least that was what it was symbolized in. So when she shaved his head, his great strength left him. Now, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Over and over again, I think over 600 times, strength in one form or another shows up in the Word of God. Over 32 times, somebody is admonished to be strong, not the least of which is me and you as Christians, right? So I got thinking about that, and you know, strength is one of those concepts in Christianity that everybody thinks they probably know what it means, and I'm not quite so sure that they do. I'm not quite so sure that they know where it comes from. So I'll ask you a couple questions here real quick. Here's Samson in this situation. Would you know if Delilah stole your great strength? Or would you get up like him in verse 20, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him? He got up off the bed and did not know that his strength was gone. Would that be the case with you? Would you know it if it was stolen from you or left you? Did you think that your enemy wouldn't be interested in your great strength? Do you think that you have license to play with Delilah and play games with one of the greatest treasures that you have, your great strength? Did you decide that Delilah was harmless? Might you underestimate the strength of the chains the Philistines will put on you once your great strength leaves you? Do you think you can just go back and get it anytime you want? Because you may not be able to. So let me talk to you about the fact that Delilah still has a razor. Talking about your great strength, Samson had great strength. That's what she wanted to steal from him. Okay, you have strength. Look in Exodus 15, would you? Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to look at your source of strength. I hope that I can convince you tonight that Delilah, the world, still has a razor. She will do all that she can. Excuse me, all that she can to remove your strength from you. Look in Exodus chapter 15. And notice verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Well, the Lord is my strength, says Exodus 15:2, right? 2 Samuel 22 says, God is my strength and my power. Psalm 18 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust? Psalm 27 says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom will I be afraid? Psalm 28 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isaiah 26 says, in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Do you remember when the nation of Israel decided to go to war with the Philistines? And they said, let's bring out the ark to go to battle with us. It shall save us. Ladies and gentlemen, your great strength, your strength lies in the fact that lies in the fact that you have something the world doesn't. You have a God. He's a living God. He's not a demon. He's not an it. You have a God that's alive that is your strength. You have a relationship through Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. You have a relationship through Jesus Christ with the God of all power and all creation and the God of eternity. You have a personal relationship. God is your strength. Stop and think about what the world tries to do. It says, Delilah still has a razor, right? If God is your strength, if a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ is one of the things that strengthens you, is your great strength, do you not think that the small g God of this world, you think he doesn't know enough theology to know that? You think he might not inspire the world to do all she can to shave you of your great strength? I want to say that God is your great strength, and I want to say that Delilah still has a razor. She wishes to separate you from the Lord. Now, there's probably many ways that I haven't thunk of that she can do it, but not the least of which is if she just can convince you of things that aren't true about him. Right? Maybe she can just produce an idol out of God so that God is a big, say, friendly Santa Claus who just never would do anything against anybody and is never angry and is never jealous and would never leave a sodomite out in the cold. You see what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? All the world has to do is amalgamate some of her theology in with Bible theology so she can confuse you so you no longer have confidence that the God of the Bible is the God of your salvation and your great strength. And if she can get you to walk with some other God somewhere, she's achieved her goal. She has presented in your mind, she's erected in your heart, essentially an idol named God, capital G God, named Jesus Christ, and that's not the God of truth. She will have successfully shaved you of your strength. Delilah still has a razor. Both Balaam and Jezebel convinced God's people to, one, commit fornication, and two, mess around with idols. And in both cases, God's wrath fell on his own people for those things. But they were messing around with idols, and part of that idolatry, folks, is the Lord God himself. I've said it so many times, I know you're probably tired of it. One of the commonest things in modern Christianity, modern quote-unquote Christianity, it is a God, God, erected in people's hearts and minds that doesn't match the God here in every respect. It's a dangerous thing to edit God. You may customize your truck, you may customize a suit, but you better not try to customize God. God is who he is, whether you like it or not, and you better line up with whom he is, with who he is. Otherwise, you're going to be robbed of your greatest source of strength. If the world can only confuse you about who your God is, he has won a major victory. Delilah still has a razor. By the way, Delilah has masters, the Philistines. I know who this world's master is. It's the God of this world. It's Satan. It's the devil. Notice something else here, would you? Look in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm telling you tonight what a Christian's great strength is. But from the perspective that Delilah still has a razor, and if you think that the devil is not interested in removing your strength from you as a Christian, you would be very naive indeed. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God. Neither be ye sorry, end of verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, just as much as the joy of the Lord was the strength of those men in Nehemiah's day. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, there's a couple of things to be added to that through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, Christ says, John 15, 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He says, it's now possible for the joy that resides in me to reside in you, that your joy might be full. He followed that up in John 17, 13 with this, and now I come to thee, Christ talking to God himself, and these things I speak in the world, that they, that would be us, might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The literal joy that Jesus Christ had in his heart the day he went to the cross for you, right, is the same joy that he can impart to your heart. That is great strength for a Christian, to have not just my joy, my petty joy, but God's joy. Jesus Christ's joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you got saved, you had an infusion of several things. You were crucified with Christ. God looks at a Christian as being crucified with Christ and baptized unto his death. Not baptized or baptized, but I mean baptized by the Holy Spirit into the death of Jesus Christ, buried and, by the way, resurrected in Jesus Christ. And ascended in Jesus Christ. And by the way, through that, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And along the way, there was a seed of joy, a seed of Christ's joy placed in your heart. I'll grant you that joy can be a fairly fragile thing. You have to nurse it. You have to nourish it. But I can tell you what this world, look, the world has nothing to match that. I don't care how much dope you smoke. I don't care how many drugs you take. I don't care how much alcohol you drink. I don't care how many friends you have. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much education you have. The world has nothing to match or excel the joy of the Lord and the strength that comes from it. I have joy as a poor man, as a sick man, as a weak man, as a bedridden man that nobody in the world that's lost knows anything about, if I will only nurture that seed. Right? Well, brethren, Delilah still has a razor. And she shaved at least the symbol of Samson's great strength. And Samson wound up a weak man, just like any other man. Now, I want you to know that Delilah still has a razor, and she would very much love to remove your strength from you. Okay? How might she do that? Well, excuse me, if she could just make you afraid, if she could just confuse you about things, if she could just get you so frustrated that your joy kind of flees from you and you're just mad and frustrated today, and tomorrow you yield to it again. If you're not careful, you yield long enough that the joy doesn't just come seeping back in, right? Delilah would love very much to remove from you your joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. If she can just make you double-minded, if she can just afflict your faith and make you slightly doubtful, she has managed to win a great victory. She's removed from you your armor and your strength. The joy of the Lord is your... The Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And Delilah still has a razor, and I tell you right now what she's after in every soul sitting in this room. She wants to rob you of the joy of your salvation, of serving God and of doing right. She would love for you to be depressed, discouraged, downtrodden, and just generally grumpy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Delilah still has a razor. I'd like to point out something else to you. I've read these to you already. Now, I'm still stuck on John 15, just a second. Let me read it to you again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But notice, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might be full. Furthermore, John 17 again. And now come I to thee, these things I speak in the world, that they, us, might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, to get the slant on that, look in Daniel. Book of Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And notice what happened to Daniel here. I'm not going to comment on the prophecy of it, but on something else here. Daniel chapter 10, go down to verse 8. Daniel basically sees a vision, troubled by the vision. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me. Notice, no strength. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Well, a couple of things happened there, but notice verse 16. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision that you allowed me to see, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Verse 19, the angel speaks, verse 19, and said, well, let's start with verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. He strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. When was he strengthened? When he spake to him. I want to say that one of the great sources of your great strength is the Lord speaking to you. It's the Lord speaking to you. Jeremiah was in prison and had already concluded that he should give up. But he said, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. Those soldiers were sent out to capture Jesus Christ and bring him back to the scribes and Pharisees. And when they didn't bring him back, they said, why didn't you bring him back? They said, never man spake like this man. Okay? So what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? Well, what I'm getting at is that the world has nothing to compare to your God, your strength, who gives you joy. The world has nothing to compare with God speaking to you. And God speaking to you will strengthen you. The world once in a while has an icon, an iconic character that rises up. And the world for a while considers him a spokesman. I'm told that in years past, probably a little before my time, that Walter Cronkite was considered the iconic spokesman to America over various issues. This is Walter Cronkite. I know that much about him. Anyway, I don't remember him very well, but once in a while the world raises somebody up and there's some idyllic figure, some American Idol character, some famous person, some famous personage. I suppose that for Great Britain again, for a while there anyway, Winston Churchill was the man. For America there for a while, frankly, Theodore Roosevelt was the man. I just want you to know the world has nothing to compare with your God speaking to you. And you should remember along that line, Delilah still has a razor. If your joy is the Lord, I mean, if your strength is the Lord, and if your strength is the joy of the Lord, and if your strength is the Lord speaking to me, you can bet that Delilah has a razor and she's ready to shave something off. She wants to shave off that issue of God. If she can only disrupt God speaking to you, she can make you weak. She can have you wrapped around her little finger. If she can only distract you, if she can only make you so busy that you have no time to sit down with your Bible and listen. It's one thing to read. It's another thing to listen. I'll tell you openly that there's time that I read, and I don't know what it is about mornings with Brother Stevens, but I get up and I pray and pray for a while and sit down to read my Bible, and I'm reading, and there is this ticker tape going in the back of my head, all the things that I have to do. And while I'm reading, there's all this stuff pressing on me from back here, and it's like one of those old-fashioned computers, all this noise in the background, like a newsroom or something, an old-fashioned newsroom. I don't know what it is, ladies and gentlemen. When my spirit is calm and when I'm not preoccupied, the sweetest times that I have are sitting down reading my Bible and God speaking to me. If Delilah can only make you so preoccupied, so busy, so distracted, I promise you she can remove your strength. Because your strength, in part anyway, is God speaking to you. If Delilah can get you to make excuses to not read your Bible, and secondly, to not come to church and get preached at under the power of God that we talked about this morning, she may not have you whipped, she may not have you hogtied on the floor yet, but you're getting there. The joy of the Lord, your strength, the Lord, your strength. The Lord speaking to you is your strength. If she can only get you so distracted with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, and the pleasures of this life, those things will enter in and choke the word, and she's won, and with her, so have the Philistines. With her, so has the devil. I'll show you something else here. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. There's 96 of these, so y'all settle in. Psalm 138. Just kidding. Now, we're accustomed to reading verse 2, and we're familiar with it. But notice verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me, and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Answered prayer is your strength. The Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord speaking to you is your strength. And by the way, answered prayer is your strength. There is nothing so strengthening as to be able to pray and have God answer your prayers. I'll grant you sometimes you pray for a long time before there comes an answer, but there is nothing so satisfying and encouraging as to pray and one day God answers those prayers specifically. There's nothing that strengthens quite like knowing you have a God that listens, moves, intercedes, and intervenes in your life and answers your prayers. There's nothing quite like it. I was in Bible school, and by the first or second year, I'm praying for God's will in various things. I prayed, and God gave me a wife. And I prayed, and God gave me a calling. And we were up here getting a church started, had a church split, and various other things, grew back a little bit, that sort of thing. And came a day that we got kicked out of our building. We no longer had a place to meet. It became pretty plain that renting was just not going to work. We prayed, and God gave us an old Jehovah's Witnesses church. And there came a day that we kind of outgrew the old Jehovah's Witnesses church, and we had no money. And the banker up here on the corner, I called him to talk to him about a loan. He honestly laughed at me. He guffawed like a horse. Ha ha! It was ridiculous. Within days after that, the guy that sold us that end of the building met me out here. I was cutting a tree, actually. And he said, you know, if you guys ever want to add on to the building, why don't you let me know? I'll finance it on a CD. There is nothing quite so strengthening as praying and having God answer your prayers. But Delilah still has a razor. Now, I want to say that the world has nothing to compare to that. The world gambles. The world dreams. The world rolls the dice, gives it a shot. The world tries. But as far as having somebody to pray to that intervenes and intercedes in their lives and answers their communications, the world has nothing like that whatsoever. That's why the world is interested in ruining your prayer life. Delilah still has a razor. If answered prayer is your strength, at least in part, then all she has to do is get you to quit praying. That's all she has to do. If, again, she can only get you so busy that you just don't have time this morning and the next morning and the next morning to pray. If she can just get you distracted enough so that when you get on the floor to pray or kneel at your bedside to pray, you can't get your mind off the issues of the day to come or the day past, she's got you. If she can only make you, if she can only make you so busy running to and fro that you are so tired by the time it comes to pray, you just drop right off to sleep. She shaved off your strength. Delilah still has a razor. I have a quote for you by a great missionary named Adoniram Judson. And if I can find it here through all these crumpled pages. Be resolute in prayer. Make any sacrifice to maintain it. Consider that time is short and that business and company must not be allowed to rob thee of thy God. The Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord speaking to you is your strength. God answering prayer is your strength. But Delilah still has a razor. Let me show you just a few more here real quick. Psalm 8, at the same time, Matthew 21. Psalm 8, Matthew 21. Tell me, Samson, wherein thy great strength lieth. What can I do to you so that if I ever need you to be weak, that I can do it to you, afflict you, and that you can, I can then tie you up and you'll be like any other man? Wherein lieth thy great strength? Psalm 8, then Matthew 21. Psalm 8, notice verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Interestingly, now notice the quotation. Christ, quoting his own Bible, Matthew 21:16. He said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Well, back in Psalms, he said strength. In Matthew, he said praise. What is the brilliant deduction I come up with? Praise is strength. One of the great sources of your strength, brethren, is praise. When Job's life fell completely apart, his answer was, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was a strong man. Now, if the devil can just get you to a place, if the world can just get you to a place, sorry that I keep hacking, where you have a continually sour spirit, where you're just full of grumbling and mumbling and complaining like the children of Israel, he will succeed in removing your strength. Because if you can't praise God when things aren't going exactly right, your joy will fade with it. Because praise is strength. Notice something else here. Look in Proverbs 24. Just two or three more real quick. Proverbs 24. Okay, Proverbs 24. We covered this not long ago on Wednesday night. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. If you have the Lord's wisdom, if you're saved and have the wisdom that descendeth from above is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, you have a great source of strength. Wisdom is strength. It says there, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. I remind you about wisdom, by the way, in Proverbs 3. You don't have to go there, but she is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Man, wisdom is an important thing. Go read Proverbs and get wisdom. Get the wisdom of God, because that wisdom of God is strength. Right? But Delilah still has... What a source of strength it is that you at least have a book that tells you how to raise your kids and how to succeed in your marriage. Even if the world says they have answers, they don't have answers. You have the answers. You have the wisdom. You have the wisdom how to raise your kids and do the right things, how to get through this life in Joshua successfully. If Delilah can only mess you up. See, Delilah still has a razor, and she's out to destroy your wisdom. If she can only destroy your source of wisdom, if she can only destroy your confidence in your source of wisdom, if she can only get you to not fear God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If she'll just get you to a place where you are so familiar with God and holy things that you're not scared of Him at all, she's got you. You may not be hogtied on the floor yet, but you're getting there. Delilah still has a razor. If she can only pollute God's wisdom with the world's wisdom, if she can only get you where you think that the Bible has some answers and that psychology has the rest, if she can only get you where you think the Bible has some answers, but you have to go to college to get the rest, she's going to rob you of your strength. Delilah still has a razor. If the world can only get you to act like a fool, if she can only get you to make foolish decisions, she's going to rob you of your strength, because the wisdom of God is your strength. Notice Isaiah 40. Just a couple more. Isaiah 40. Delilah still has a razor. And I dare say that she has shaved many a man and many a woman in this day and age. Have you ever known a day when so few Christians had genuine strength to go on, that really had genuine joy? Where is the joy in Christianity now? Well, it's all in rock bands and waving your hands in the air and dancing around like a bunch of ninnies during the Sunday night service. But where is the genuine joy? Where is the genuine strength in Christianity? I dare say that Delilah has shaved lots of men and women. Don't you think? Delilah still has a razor. Isaiah 40. And go down to verse 31. But they, you know this verse very well, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Patience. Patience. Your patience will at least lead to strength, right? I mean, let patience have her perfect work. Is that right? Let patience have her perfect work. And the context, by the way, of James 1:4 is that by the trial of your faith. The Lord gives you trials so you can exercise your patience. So patience can have her perfect work so that one day you can get strength. But Delilah has a razor. And there's perhaps never been a day. Look, the Bible says, he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Haste is the opposite of waiting. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Ladies and gentlemen, if the world can get you to make hasty, foolish, fast, quick decisions on a regular basis, you're not going to have any strength. You're going to dig yourself into a hole, and it's going to be tough to dig out. Because patience at least leads to strength, if it isn't strength itself. Look at just one more, then I promise I'm done. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is Paul praying about this thorn that he has. He says he wants to be rid of it. I earnestly believe that Paul's thorn was actually his eyesight. If you recall, the Lord struck him blind on the road to Damascus when he got saved. And apparently he received some help and got some of his sight back. But as time went on, and by the time he reaches the end of his epistles, he's talking more and more about this thorn and how he has to have somebody else actually write the words out of the epistles. I believe that Paul's thorn, I think it's a good guess anyway, that Paul's thorn is his eyesight. Now think about being an apostle and think about all the writing you have to do. Think about all the walking and traveling you have to do, and think about being blind along the way. I'm sure me and you would probably pray, Lord, give me my sight back, please. I'd be much better to you if I just had my sight, which is what Paul prayed. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Well, what is this? Well, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he prays three times that this might depart. Verse 9. He, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I, Paul, rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I think that Paul's thorn was his eyesight, but Paul called it his infirmity. Now, you have infirmities, I bet. You know, people say, my back's been kind of sore. I may go to the doctor. By the time you're 50, something's always sore. So what are you getting? Well, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. I know this. There are people who have certain afflictions. And look, if you need surgery on your foot, go get surgery on your foot. If you have headaches, fine, try to resolve them. But folks nowadays, expect there to be a final fix for everything. You know, fact of the matter is, there's a lot of places in the Word of God where God gave His people, His men, His women for that matter, infirmities and let them have them forever. Look, Jacob limped on that sinew that shrank for the rest of his life. Paul struggled, apparently, with his sight for the rest of his life. He said, please heal me, please heal me, please heal me. He said, no, because when you're weak, then I'm strong. Now, here's the deal. Your infirmity, probably something in your health, and again, by the time you're 45 or 50, look, your knees are going to hurt. You're going to be uncomfortable laying in bed in one position all the time. You're going to have to get up and stretch. You're going to have something wrong with your stomach, your colon, your hair, your toenails. Something's going to be wrong by the time you reach midlife somewhere. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. But keep in mind, if the doctors don't help you, the Lord may just want you infirmed. It's something we all have to face, right? I get tickled at these guys. Here's me and Jeff. Just, you know, we're bald, okay? I appreciate Brother Jeff and Brother Todd because they're not doing the big comb-over thing. I think it's very weird. I think it's very sissified. I think they wear pink underwear that men have to grow this long shag thing on one side and comb it over and wrap it around to pretend that they really have hair on top of their head. You think we can't see a bird's nest when we see one? We think we don't recognize a bird's nest when we see one? So what's the point, Brother Stevens? I'm not sure anymore. But look, you're not going to fix everything. There's going to be stuff that goes wrong in your body that doctors are not going to have the answer for, or without some extraordinary measure they can't fix. But I tell you what the world will come along with. She'll come along with pills, drugs, more programs, and for $99.95, you too can be healthy once again. And you're going to if you're not careful, you wind up chasing stuff for the rest of your life, trying to solve your infirmities and your problems. And the fact of the matter is, some of those infirmities may be God's gift to you. And that gift may revolve around the fact that when you are weak, then He is strong. And if the world can convince you to be preoccupied all the time with your sore knees or with your developing arthritis or with your whatever, your hairlessness, then you'll wind up being preoccupied and distracted and pursue those things for the rest of your life, and God has no desire for them to be fixed. Because if He can keep you weak in a measure, then He can be strong. The Lord is not interested in you getting glory for being strong. The Lord is not interested in you saying, oh yeah, I'm strong in the Lord. That's not the interest. We don't need any incredible, spiritual incredible bulks. Now, the other thing to ask yourself just very quickly is, okay, we all know that we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. Okay, we've explored that all night. We've explored the fact that Delilah has a razor. And if you're not careful, the world will remove your spiritual strength from you. So the real question is, why should you desire to be strong?
Whoa, so I can withstand everything. So I can be a brick wall when the devil comes around.
Is that really it? Romans 15. Romans 15. And I'm done. Romans 15. Why be strong? Why have joy? Why pursue with such vigor the Lord speaking to you, the Lord answering your prayers, praising God, having wisdom, developing patience? When the Lord gives you an infirmity, if it's not His will that He fix it, that you don't spend your time distracted and preoccupied with it. Because, chapter 15, verse 1, we then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Why do you want to be strong? So I can go snowmobiling 6 months out of the year and never get tired. So I can run a marathon as a personal best for me. Why do you want to be strong? The Bible says, look, Jesus Christ came not to this, he did not come into this world to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for. Why do you want to be strong? Oh, so I can be tough as nails and have the reputation and testimony of being unmovable. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I'm not trying to set the pull-up record. I don't need to be strong so that I can get in the Guinness Book of World Records because I do more push-ups than anybody in the world ever. I'm supposed to develop strength through the Lord so I can be a help to others. Let's pray. Father, we've explored some things here tonight. We pray that you'll bless. We are all very much aware that we're supposed to be strong. We may have had these verses tucked away, that these things are the means of being strong in the Lord. I pray you might help us realize as well that Delilah still has a razor. This world is certainly out to destroy all that our strength is. Pray, Father, you'd help us keep in mind the reason we're supposed to be strong. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's turn to number 389. We'll stand. 389. Think about this matter of strength for just a little while and think about how malicious and malevolent was the device used to try to undermine Samson. But think too about the fact that Samson was very much to blame himself. He was hardly the incarnation of virtue. He set himself up for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked this morning about courage or virtue. I believe that spiritual strength would qualify as a virtue as well. You're going to need courage in these last days. And listen, you're going to need strength. And if you have no joy, and if you have no patience, and if you don't get answered prayers, and if God doesn't speak to you through preaching in the Bible, you're just not going to be strong. I assure you, Delilah's doing all she can to rob you of it. Defend those weak points. Don't let her take it. Don't fall asleep in her lap and let her shave off your locks. On the 4th.
I am resolved to enter the kingdom.
dismissed in prayer. Appreciate y'all being here all day today. Brother Brian, darling, would you dismiss us, please? Amen, amen. Thank y'all for being here today.